San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear this show as it airs on any device. And, of course, all these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com and also at the KFMB website as well, and iTunes on Apple, if you get that. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire, accomplished marathon runner, best-selling author, lecturer, philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Joe. I'm out of breath. I sprinted over here from AMC Theaters where I saw the For Press Only preview. You were there for most of it.
Yeah.
Of The Battle of the Sexes, the new movie about
Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs,
Emma Stone starring as Billie Jean King,
and
Steve Carell as Bobby Riggs. And we're going to be talking more about that movie on some shows later
actually
this month.
The next week and the week thereafter we're going to devote the whole show to it because it does premiere in San Diego September 29th.
But that is correct.
But enough about that. We've got a lot of show. I just wanted to mention one other item, and we have also a guest on the phone waiting to talk with us. But legendary singer, songwriter, and peace activist Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. You remember Puff the Magic Dragon, right, Richard?
Puff? Oh, I won't sing it. Go ahead.
Of their fame. He's performing a benefit concert in San Diego on Sunday, September 17, at San Diego's Unity Center to benefit Tariq Kamisa's foundation and its violence prevention efforts. So 100%, thanks to Peter's generosity, 100% of all the proceeds are going to go to benefit the TKF Safe Schools Model programs. And tickets are limited, and for this one, time experience. Children under 12 attend free with an adult. To buy tickets, just visit the tkf.org website as soon as possible.
And my daughter Demi's third-grade teacher would always start crying when she would make the kids sing that song in school.
Really?
Yeah, wow. She'd always start crying.
Anyway, but
Mrs.
on the
Campbell.
Phone, there's another big event coming up honoring a very philanthropic and beloved couple in town, Mel and Linda Katz, and we have on the line David Oates from Rotary Club 33. David, are you there?
Hey, I sure am, guys. How are you?
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Good to hear from you. Tell us, why are you honoring Mel and Linda Katz? And tell us the where, when, and why, and all that.
So, yeah, the program itself is going to be on September 14th. It will be at our typical San Diego Rotary Thursday lunch program. We should have upwards of 300 people in attendance, and we're just thrilled to have them as a 2017 Mr. and Mrs. San Diego. Incidentally, this is the only the second time in the 65-year history of this award that a husband and wife team have been named for Mr. and Mrs. San Diego, and we're honored. I mean, to say that they embody what we call service above self is an understatement. All of the things that they have done for the community and also success in the business community are just renowned. And it was high time that they were honored at this award.
Yeah. Now, I know Mel was it was about an 18 or 20-year odyssey getting the Central Library relocated and built a new wonderful structure down there by Petco Park. That was one of his main achievements, right?
He had to, he really spearheaded with the Library Foundation Board and the professional team, $195 million in funds raised to put that new central library in place. You know, now that's been 4 years ago, but for folks who may not remember that, if it wasn't for Mel Katz driving that, we would not have a downtown central library. But you brought up a really good point. That's one of a series of philanthropic endeavors that Mel and Linda have done. They've advocated for years for things like living wage, minimum wage, earned sick leave measures. They have served as board of members of UC San Diego Foundation, our own San Diego Rotary Foundation, the Civic High School, the charter school, E3 Civic High School, iNews Source. And Linda, I mean, you go on Linda's resume, and it's just, you know, you could go on for an entire program just on her with all the things she's done with Lead San Diego, Serving Seniors, Rady's Children's Hospital Auxiliary. It just goes on and on. This is truly one of the most deserving couples for this award, and we're just honored to do it.
Now, Rotary Club 33, that's the main club downtown, meets at the Sheraton every Thursday at noon, right? Sheraton Harbor Island, right?
We actually meet at the Liberty Station Conference Center now because we were, to your point, so yes, we're the fourth We're the fourth largest Rotary Club in the world out of about 33,000 clubs, Whoa. About 1.2 million members. We're the fourth largest in the world. And as such, really, we're looking for a place that we could call home every Thursday. And the good folks here at the Liberty Station Conference Center have given us, in fact, the hall is named the San Diego Rotary Hall.
Wow.
And we get about 200 of us. We've got about 500 members. Just to give you a little flair, we
sure.
contribute a little over 100,000 volunteer hours every year and about $220,000 in volunteer program services, not only here in San Diego, but around the world through our other Rotary partnerships.
How about that? Fourth largest in the world. Did not know that. So this luncheon honoring Mel and Linda will be at Liberty Station at the Conference Center in the new Rotary Hall, you're saying, right?
That's exactly right. Liberty Station Conference Center, we kick off. Lunch starts at about noon. The program starts at 12:30. And again, that's Thursday, September 14th.
Okay. Now, is it open to the public, and can anyone attend?
So what we do is, if you know somebody in the Rotary Club, we would certainly be happy to have you as a guest. It is not necessarily something you can buy tickets for. And as you can imagine, though, we've got a lot of guests coming to honor Mel and Linda.
Sure.
So if somebody wants to join, it would certainly, and if there is space available, they can go to our website at San Diego Rotary.club. You can certainly inquire with the office if there's space available, and if we have space available, we'd certainly love to entertain it.
All right. And David, your role at Rotary, you've been in the club a long while. Tell us your role.
So I've been in 10 years now. I am what's called the president nominee, which means I will assume the mantle, I guess, at July 1, 2019. But right now, I'm basically the guy parking cars.
Oh, okay.
And you move up the ladder a little bit.
And shameless plug, the name of your company, why not?
You're kind. The Public Relations Service, Stalwart Communications, servicing small to mid-sized businesses. I do it on a performance-based model, and that's how I got involved with Rotary. I'd launched the business. I was looking for a way to give back, and Rotary was my home, and I'm just thrilled to be able to do that, and thrilled to be able to do things like, you know, be able to talk up fellow Rotarians, Mel and his wife, Linda, mm-hmm. for Mr. and Mrs. San Diego and the stuff that we do. This is where it gets fun.
And this is how many years you've been awarding Mr. San Diego or Mr. and Mrs. San Diego? I guess it's Mr.
Well, the award goes back since 1952. We have had it in our club and have assumed managing the award for the past 45 years.
Huh.
And like I said to you beforehand, this is only the second time in its 60 in the time that it's been around. That we have, in fact, honored a husband and wife.
And who was the first one? Mr. Alonzo Horton or what?
Oh, you know, I knew you were going to ask me that. Yeah. It was certainly before your and my time.
Rotary trivia, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look
that
up.
I'll look it up the next time I have it on.
We'll find it out. But anyway, David, thank you so much. Congratulations, Mel and Linda Katz, and thank you for giving us all the information, David Oates, and you have a great day, okay?
Hey, thanks for your interest. You guys take care. Thanks for the time.
Our pleasure. All right. And that's great news. And tonight's special guest, folks, we're a couple minutes to the break, but we can at least do a little introduction here. This gentleman is a healthcare innovator and visionary. He was originally a pharmacologist and went on to become an osteopath, and we're going to get all that information. But very honored, very esteemed. We'll go over his credentials a little bit when we get into the show, but I want to at least let you hear his voice. Dr. Saul Lieser-Brown, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And
you thought you were never going to get
on,
huh?
Yeah. And thanks for your patience. We have a full, you know, the three more full segments to do with that. But Saul is originally hails from Philadelphia area, right?
Right, exactly.
And let's see. So we got about a minute. Maybe get his tips. Born and raised where? Outside of Philly? Or?
Outside of Philadelphia in a suburb called Cheltenham, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And then grade school, high school, all in that area?
All there.
And then
there.
As far as university training?
I went to Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine and Surgery. Prior to that, I became a pharmacist before becoming a physician.
Right. So where did you study for that?
That was in New York.
Okay. How about that, Richard? That's an interesting path to the medical profession.
It is.
I don't know. How many pharmacists become MD?
You'd be surprised. There's a decent number. It's not that often, but it's a great background for the medical school. You know,
sure.
You already come in knowing all the medications and the pharmaceutical background.
Absolutely.
And biological.
Absolutely. That's very interesting. Anyway, I got to meet Saul at an event. We'll talk about when we come back from a break. We'll be back with Dr. Saul Lieser-Brown right after this. Hang on. All right, we took a breath. We're back with Dr. Saul Lieser-Brown. I like the Bob Newhart music, by the way, Justin. Good choice. So, Saul, you started as a pharmacist. You studied then to become an osteopath. How does that differ from typical MD?
The osteopathic medicine has the same training as an MD with the additional training of spinal manipulation. Mm. There is a focus on family practice, mm-hmm. although DOs have all the specialties that MDs have, and they work side by side in all hospitals and facilities. But there is this holistic approach to the person.
I was going to mention that.
Taking the entire person into consideration and not just looking at an individual organ.
Right.
And the training is very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with emphasis on spinal manipulation. Naturally, if you're a DO psychiatrist, you don't do a lot of manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe an anesthesiologist or radiologist, but there is an integration of the two disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Are you also trained to do surgery?
Absolutely, sure. Okay. We're fully licensed physicians and surgeons, mm-hmm. and some of my training was in Philadelphia, University of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and we shared professors and laboratories, and so it's a great profession.
Well, the thing I like is that when you say holistic, I mean, how many doctors ask their patient, you know, what's your diet like? How much exercise are you getting?
How much stress do you have in your life?
Right, and how are you managing your stress? And
things, you're supposed to manage it?
Things on, yes. Well, I just heard a big lecture. We had Dr. Krista Roybal on. We'll have
yes.
to get her. Are you familiar with her
yes.
at all?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's got a whole, she gave this talk for the first time to a group of 12 yesterday, and I want to talk about holistic training. And, you know, she gets into your physical fitness and all these things. It helps to empower you again. And I think DOs would probably appreciate that.
Right.
Kind of
so it, now it's called integrative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the newer term.
Mm-hmm.
But physicians, DOs, DOs are fully licensed in practicing physicians and surgeons. But again, they have this additional training. And you're trained to think about the patient. So if a patient comes in with ulcer disease, instead of just giving them medication for the ulcer disease, maybe there's an underlying reason for that ulcer
mm-hmm.
that also should be treated. So you don't disregard the ulcer, you treat it, but try to find out the etiology, the origin of it.
There's something different between the cure and the healing, right? I mean, that's whether you can get cured, but are you healed? We don't know. Then you might have a recurrence. But...
I was curious, where did your interest come from in doing that? Was it because as a pharmacist you were just used to prescribing medication for symptoms? Or
a good question, actually. No, our family physician in Philadelphia was a DO, and there's a very well-known school in Philadelphia. There's schools all over in California, all over the country that are osteopathic, that graduate osteopathic physicians and surgeons, and... That person had a influence on myself and my brother Sam, who lives in Philadelphia, is also a DO. So and there's many as a result. There's many DOs in the family. Mm-hmm. So it was we do have some DO, some MDs, but you know we have many more DOs in the family.
Yeah, usually there's a person has a pivotal influence on us. It takes us in a career path, right?
Exactly.
I know Dr. Roybal said she watched the Bill Moyers Healing in the Mind series back in the early 90s, and it changed her life and it changed her direction. So, but where'd you get the interest in high tech? Because you were on the front edge of this. I mean, the mid-90s, most people didn't even have computers yet or weren't using them the way we use them now. And so something must have inspired you to get into the high-tech field.
Well, yes. So what happened is myself and my two partners, Seth Flam and Jonathan Flam, Seth is also a physician, and we practiced together, and we just saw a need in the community, not only our community, but in the healthcare community, where there was so many transactions that were being done electronically. And I'll just give you one example. And that's checking a patient's eligibility with the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the 80s, in order to check a patient's eligibility, you'd have to call the insurance company or your office manager would call the insurance company, put on hold, wait, and then ask, is Mrs. Jones covered and what's the deductible and what? It didn't make sense when you can go to an ATM and in 15 seconds get cash.
Yeah.
Because the ATM knew you were eligible to get cash.
Yeah.
But in the insurance company, you would have to call and wait and wait and wait. And if you're seeing 30 patients a day, you have a full-time person doing that. So myself and my two partners, we sat down and we said, you know, there's got to be a better way. And we looked at the ATM model. And we figured out there's we were not technicians, but we knew how to hire technicians, and that's how we started a company to initially just do eligibility, and then it grew from there.
This was in the 1990s?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Sol Lieserbaum, he's co-founder and chairman of the board of Health Fusion. That's what the name of the company was, and it was a web-based cloud computing software for physicians, hospitals, medical billing services. I guess it got adopted across the country in many respects, right?
Exactly. We expanded our products and our services into electronic medical records, and we wanted to make it very simple for the physician to operate, and we thought that moving around a computer from treatment room to treatment room wouldn't work, so we decided to be in the cloud. We didn't know we were in the cloud at those days, but it ended up that we were in the cloud. It was all internet-based. And then sure enough, this product came out called the iPad.
Mm.
And we ended up being the first electronic medical records used native to the iPad. Yeah. So that gave it a big boost.
Is that company what brought you to the West Coast, or how did you get from the East Coast out here to San Diego?
Yeah, well, this is how I got here. I was in medical school, and while you're in medical school, you have to take rotations in different specialty areas, and I needed to do a rotation for 8 weeks in surgery, and it was the middle of winter in Philadelphia. I had my choice of Erie, Pennsylvania, or San Diego, California.
Let's think about that one.
Yeah. So that was a very tough choice. But my wife, Lauren, who was originally from Brooklyn, and we said, well, why don't we go to this place called San Diego? So we came out, and believe it or not, we stayed in La Jolla. I can't remember the name of the hotel. It's still there. It's like the only high-rise hotel in La Jolla.
Okay. The village down in the village?
Right near in the village.
The Colonial Inn or La Valencia?
No.
The Summerhouse Inn.
Summerhouse.
Yeah,
Summerhouse Inn.
Yeah. Wow.
So we stayed there for $18 a night. That included continental breakfast on the top floor.
And you had the ocean view. Too.
Ocean view, $18 a night.
Which is now the Hotel La Jolla, by the
now,
way.
Now, right, yeah. Exactly. So we did I did my surgery rotation here, and then we went back and told our families that we're moving to this place called San Diego when I finish my training, and that was it.
What year was that, Sol? That was 90.
That was 1978.
78. Okay. Wow. How about that? So almost 40 years, almost.
Yep, exactly.
How about that? Anyway, your company became very huge. You know, I was thinking about H. Ross Perot. I guess he made it big, kind of in government building for. I guess medical related, but
that was a little bit different in some respects. We focused on building a technology that could be used in, as we call it, the onesie twosie doctor offices.
Yeah,
many companies built technology for Cleveland Clinic or these huge institutions.
Yeah.
We were focused on the onesie twosie because they were sort of left out.
Sure,
at the early parts of healthcare IT. Because
they needed the efficiency more than anybody.
They
right?
needed the efficiency, but the cost was so outrageous to put in this server units and have people managing the systems. So we decided to do it all by
remote.
Internet.
Sure.
And
that was the cloud.
Yeah, that was the cloud. You buy an iPad and you subscribe to our service and you're in business.
Yeah.
Did they tend to be early adopters or did it take some selling and marketing to...
Well, there were early adopters, and then there was an incentive program that came out from the U.S. government under the Obama administration, and that really helped spur it because the doctors that adopted the technology got rebates.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Sol has some good contacts in Sacramento with the governors, and we'll get into that as well. So, but we're coming up on our break right now. I guess we have to take another break. We'll be back with Dr. Sol Lieserbaum and all about this high-tech information and his life and career. Hang on. All right. right, we're back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is a time where Richard likes to thank our sponsors.
Big thank you to our sponsors. We, of course, could not do the show without them. At the top of the list, UBS with Michael Caranta. Mike, I got your text. I'm busy doing radio. I'll get back to you. But anyway, UBS, big thank you. Also, our favorite CPAs on the planet. We love CPAs so much, we've got two groups of them. We've got Signature Analytics with Jason Kruger, a great CFO service company, and as well, a more traditional CPA firm, tax returns, financial statements, and such. That would be Polito Epic CPAs up in San Marcos, California. Also, our dear friend Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives. Joel helps real estate owners improve their cash flow. Now, all this money that our sponsors make for you, why don't you deposit it at Mechanics Bank? San Diego Regional Office, of course, is headed up by Sean Puckett, a great niche market bank serving wealthy families, families that own businesses, and in particular, businesses in the real estate space. Also, employee benefits, they're on our roster too, Hub International. Boy, you talk about an area that's topsy-turvy. Hub International, those are a great employee benefits firm, and who knows where that's going to go. So Hub International can help you sort of navigate all this uncertainty. Also, my great friend Tony Lombardi with the LG Experience in the Lombardi Group, helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients. Also, fairly recent guest, Paul Hines. Paul, of course, is the CEO of Hearthstone Private Wealth Management and is a catalyst behind SeniorSafeAndSound.org, an initiative here in San Diego, helping to prevent financial abuse of the elderly. Also, Michelle St. Clair, Elite Lifestyle Management, a great concierge company, helping those of us who have no time get things done. And by the way, Joe, we owe a big thank you to Michelle for your ticket to the premiere of The Battle of the Sexes in Los Angeles, because I couldn't have gotten that one without her help. They only gave me one. So that shows you how highly I rate in the eyes of Fox Studios. And then, of course, Brenda Geiger with Geiger Law Office. Brenda and her great team of attorneys specialize in asset protection and estate planning. Again, Geiger Law Office. Now, I know a lot of you aficionados of our show, you skip dinner just to listen. Now, if you're getting hungry, we can help you there too, right, Joe?
Absolutely. There's a Very Good Food Foundation headed up by Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac with their great foodie and sustainability programs throughout the year, including the shows they do with us, and also Lestat's Coffee Houses, University Heights, Normal Heights, and the new one on University Avenue, all open 24/7, 365 with great food, coffee, and people watching. And I know many of these sponsors have been working with you, Richard, for many years with great success, right?
Going on 30 years in some cases.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I started doing this when I was 13.
Nice.
Yeah, right.
Also, if you get over to iymoney.com, that's our website. There's a sponsor tab across the top of the page there. In the drop-down menu, you could learn about any or all of our sponsors and get more information and consult with them if you need any of their help.
Or become a sponsor,
yes,
with our media kit.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They're all great. In any case, let's get back with our guest, Dr. Sali Zabram. He's got some phenomenal credentials in addition to what we were just talking
about. But, Joe, you never told the story. How did you guys meet? Because I don't know this.
Oh, we met at Saul was hosting a fundraiser for our new governor, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom, yeah.
And I was lucky enough to get invited, and I'm always on the lookout for great new guests, and Saul is certainly in that category. So that's how we met. He has been appointed to many commissions and positions by past governors, but more recently, this one you're going to love, Richard. Saul was a trustee to the U.S. Olympic Committee.
Oh, nice. Okay.
What year was that, Saul? Was that with the Winter Olympics, Summer Olympics? Or,
actually, it was in the Chula Vista Training Center.
Sure.
Ah,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Been there?
When they first started the concept and they needed some local support and also some push from Sacramento.
Yeah, it was called the ARCO. Wasn't ARCO one of the big sponsors?
ARCO.
Is it still up and running, or is it?
It is functioning. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the status is down there.
Elite long distance runners that I know train down there.
Yeah, but Governor Brown appointed him to some commissions, and he's also a trustee of the University of California, San Diego, where your daughter graduated, Richard. But
congratulations, Mia. But now it's grad school. I'm still writing checks.
but there was a press release issued in August of this year. It's kind of a big deal because I know Saul has been on the board of this organization. He's the first West Coast president, and he's the incoming president for the Jewish National Fund. And I believe there's a big inaugural event coming up in November in Florida, correct?
That's correct.
Let's hope some of
assuming Florida is still there.
You might have,
our thoughts and prayers go out to those
folks. You might be in rafts and in canoes, but they'll have the event. So, Richard, you're absolutely right. We don't know what the – of course, this show airs on Saturday.
It's only in 2 days. It's supposed to hit Saturday. So, but anyway.
But Sal, the JNF, you tell us about your involvement there, what year you started, and what compelled you, and why this is so important. And of course, you're in the midst of a billion-dollar fundraising campaign, which is another big piece of the puzzle there. So,
yeah. So how I got involved is sort of interesting. I knew about the Jewish National Fund, and actually, as a result of there's a iconic tin can that the Jewish National Fund started in 1901, where people would put their coins in, and the purpose of that was to buy the land that would eventually become the land of Israel, and to buy it acre by acre or dunum by dunum. And so I knew about it, but never really got involved until a name which you guys will, most people recognize in San Diego, Larry Lawrence called me.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So, I know Laurie well.
And I know Laurie well also. So so I got a call from Larry Lawrence, and I happen to have known him from medical relationships. And he said to me, he said, are you familiar with the Jewish National Fund? So I said, yeah, I'm familiar putting some coins in a box when I was 10 years old. And he said, well, why don't we get together? I'd like to introduce you to some of the leadership in San Diego. It needs some young blood. Now, this was, 35 years ago, so it was young blood. So when Larry Lawrence calls, you meet with him. And sure. I sat down, I met with him, and it was a very compelling story. And my wife and I, Lauren, got involved with the Jewish National Fund about 35 years ago on a local basis, where I became the president. Lauren is currently the president of the board in San Diego. And then several years ago, I went on to the national board. And then, surprisingly enough, I was asked to be president starting October, and the inauguration is November in Florida. And it's the first time that there's a West Coast president of any major Jewish organization.
Yeah.
So it's been centralized in the past in the Northeast, all the presidents, and Ron Lauder from Estee Lauder and some others.
Well, that's where the bulk of the Jewish population is, New York City. We always heard that there was a larger Jewish population in New York than Israel. Is that still true?
That's
or not?
Still pretty much true. Pretty much about even, but
okay.
Yeah, but if you include New York and Miami, I think you do come to come to that number.
Let me ask you, how large an organization, how many members in JNF do we know offhand?
You know, it's a lay leader-driven organization. So what we mean by that is that the lay leaders really help to make all the major decisions. Of course, we have a CEO, Russell Robinson. We have other professionals. But it is a lay leader-driven organization. It's probably the largest in its class. And you know, as you said, we're in the midst of a $1 billion fundraise, which we started a few years ago, and we're proud to say we're just about halfway there. Right?
Wow.
So, and it's very exciting. We do most of the projects that are done with this money. And by the way, unlike some other philanthropic organizations, with the percentage that goes to administration, only 15%, actually a little less than that, goes to administration.
And how can our listeners help? Is there a website where they can contribute, or
JNF.org, right?
JNF.org, okay. Right? And we're famous for planting trees in Israel. And
right.
There's
yes.
a kind of an interesting story about that, and I'll tell you that real quickly. We've planted over 250 million trees in Israel. Remember, it's a desert, so
right.
there
yeah.
were no trees.
Yeah.
But when you bought the land, the ruling was in that part of the world, was that you had to occupy the land within 7 years after you bought it, or it becomes open again, you know, to squatters, let's say. So in 1901, when the Jewish National Fund began buying the land, there wasn't people to occupy it, so we planted trees. So we consider those as the first soldiers of Israel. They protected the land.
Huh.
Now we're building totally different type of projects over in Israel, and it's very diverse.
You're up to millions of trees now, right? And thousands of parks and all that. But
absolutely.
Anyway, we're coming up on another break. We'll come up. We're going to talk more with Dr. Saul Lieserbaum, incoming president of the Jewish National Fund, and other great things right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with Peter Gunn music. Very good choice, Justin. We're back with Dr. Saul Lieserbaum, incoming president of the Jewish National Fund, in the midst of $1 billion campaign. They are halfway there, which is very, very impressive.
That's $500 million.
That is
correct. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So how many contributors?
That's why you're a CPA.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can do that in my head.
But at the break, we were talking about their total membership and contributors, and that was impressive. You want to share that with us?
So the Jewish National Fund has about 800,000 members nationwide.
That's
a big organization.
That's significant. So I know about the trees, the greening of the desert. Tell us some of the other great projects and work that the JNF
Is very varied in their projects. They look for a need. And as I said, it's a lay leader-driven organization. So there's committees, lay leader committees, that'll go over to Israel. They'll meet with the communities, and they'll find out what the needs are. And they'll come back, and they'll make reports to the national committee, and we evaluate these requests. But I'll give you a quick example. In Sderot, Israel, which is near the Gaza border, the children there, there was a group of from JNF that went down there, and they didn't see any kids playing after school. And the reason was that when the Kedusha rockets from Gaza come into Sderot, there's a siren that goes off because you only have 15 seconds to get into a bomb shelter. So these kids never played outside.
Is that going on to this day?
To this day. So the JNF said, well, we're going to build a bomb-proof indoor playground. And raised the money. We went over there, and it was built. It's a bomb-proof. It's bomb-resistant, and certain rooms are totally bomb-proof. But it's an indoor playground. It looks like it's the size of a football field. Mm-hmm. And they have everything for kids, and thousands of kids go there after school now. Their parents can feel safe. And during the day, it's being used by seniors who have senior meetings in a bomb-resistant, bomb-proof facility. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of the projects. We do projects for disabled people, physically and disabled, challenged individuals in Israel. And I'll give you one example there is, as you probably know, the IDF, or Israeli Defense Forces, is a wonderful organization. And all graduates from high school must go into the IDF, which is a great training for a few years. Then they go to college. Mm-hmm. But the children that have some challenges don't get the letter to come in, and they feel sort of they're not contributing. And so the JNF partnered with this organization called Special in Uniform. And what we do is train these kids on, could be an Air Force base, an Army base, how to do some type of work. But they go through the training, and they get an official ID card. They get their uniform, the beret. And they go through a ceremony, a graduation ceremony, like any IDF member would get. Mm-hmm. And when you're sitting in that audience, there isn't a dry eye. Because these kids are in wheelchairs, or they're really physically or mentally challenged. Yeah. Yet they're part of society, and they're part of the IDF. And they get their beret, and they get their official card.
Wow. That's something else. Of course, if you got have computer skills today, you can probably find yourself a position in the military. I just got a tour of this new ship. Lori Black actually set it up for me with Captain Scott Tate.
And Zumwalt.
Yeah, the Zumwalt. It's like being on the USS Enterprise, the spaceship Enterprise, in the water. I mean, it's so you really need technical skills today.
Absolutely.
And that probably would help over in the IDF. The greening of Israel is a phenomenon. I had friends that went over and visited. Tell us what Israel's done in that, and I'm sure JNF is also helping in that regard, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know that drip irrigation was created in Israel, and it was out of necessity.
Sure.
Water. Sure. Water's a big issue.
We had Sherry Erison on our show.
Yep. So you know that And California, Jerry Brown and Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu, mm-hmm. signed a memorandum of understanding mm-hmm. Because we both suffer, California and Israel. So 10 years ago, Israel was really destitute when it came to water. So the JNF got together, built reservoirs, desalinization up and down the state. So just to let you know that 10 years later, we're now exporting water to Jordan, selling water.
Wow.
Because Israel has done such a good job. 80% of the water is reclaimed in Israel. It's the highest right. anywhere in the world.
Huh. How about that? Who knew? And then the parks, I mean, it is green. Friends have visited, and they said you can see where, you know, one entity ends and the next begins, because you know, Israel is this lush with greenery, and then it ends at some point, you know, when you get
it. It does, especially in the Negev in the south.
Mm-hmm.
So that is 60% of the land of Israel is in the Negev, which is all mm-hmm. desert, and only 8% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big concentration in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and some other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So the JNF decided that they were going to make that a project, which was years ago. Ben Gurion said we have to occupy the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And so they help fund technology that they're growing vegetables in the sand now and importing mm-hmm. them to Italy and other parts of Europe. So that's going on. In addition, the JNF said, well, look, if you want to bring people down here in business, you need medical facilities, you need fire facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So we built those. So there's now there's affordable housing for young couples, because a young couple can't buy a house in Tel Aviv. It's the same cost as buying in Manhattan.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like the Manhattan of...
Wow.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Huh.
So we have a housing fund. We're assisting in the building of housing and the financing for these young families. And so they move down. So industry moves down there. The families move down there. And then they have the facilities, whether it's playgrounds or river walks and medical facilities, you know, everything that you need to have a thriving community
mm-hmm.
right in the desert. But it is green because of the technology of growing.
Now, that's great. We could probably learn some lessons from that in this country. Of course, you know, Israel, total population is, what, 10 million or so?
Correct.
And of course, we've had a country of 320 million. It's a little difficult.
We almost have 10 million in Los Angeles alone.
But
well, you can do it state by state.
That's right, correct.
Exactly.
You got to do it in little pieces. I mean, that's the whole thing. But, you know, such great, great projects. So when do you anticipate the fund to be fully funded? How long is your term, by the way? Is it 4 years? Or?
It will be 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and there's a great professional staff, but you know, a phenomenal lay leadership around the country. And what we like to say, it's different than some other philanthropic organizations. They're all good. They're all great. And they all mm-hmm. have great causes. But when you go to one of their organizational meetings or you go to a conference, everybody shakes their hand. When you go to the JNF, Jewish National Fund Conference, everybody's hugging each other. So we like to say it's like the JNF family.
Ah.
And that's how it sort of has evolved. And everybody is important mm-hmm. and contribute. And
that's
it's a great opportunity. It's great to be involved.
That's great. Now, as far as now, you've sold Health Fusion. How are you spending your life? Traveling? I know you've been married 45 years. 3 grandchildren, 2 children.
46 years.
46 years.
He's now a full-time volunteer, Joe.
Update the bio.
Well, so we're very fortunate that we have 2 children that live, and they both live in San Diego. Our daughter, Marcy, who has 2 children, Jake and Rachel, and our son, David, who has David and Mana, and they have a son, Miles, and they're all in San Diego. So we're very fortunate. So we spend more time there, but... we're myself and again my 2 partners that started Health Fusion are looking at some more innovation in the healthcare field.
Definitely needs that. So, well, Dr. Sali Zabram, thank you so much for being our guest. It has been an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And Richard Musil, always great to see you. We have more on the Battle of Sexes coming up.
More coming up.
In the next 2 shows. Justin yeah. Hart, our board operator, thanks for making it sound terrific. Thanks to Dave Sniff and Craig Blanke over here at KFMB for making it sound, their work with us. All these podcasts are commercial free on iymoney.com. I'm going to go take a rest. Take care.